crossover.
This is WCNO. Listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander O'Hanlon reporting in this third week of February, 2026. Thank you for joining us on the report this week. We are a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties, freedom of conscience, on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. So we are called to earnestly, to contend earnestly for the faith, a faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. This program is intended to help educate, equip, encourage, and support you on how to approach the issues of our day from a biblical worldview so we can work to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report. Turning to page one of the report from the start, Christianity has been a story of improbable survival. Small, vulnerable communities outlasting empires, dictatorships, cultural headwinds, each of which should have erased the faith. Let's start at the beginning. The Roman Empire. From a sect to a polytheist, early Christians in the first and second centuries were periodically targeted because they refused to worship the emperor or the Roman gods. This was seen as political disloyalty. This culminated in a great persecution under Diocletian in the early part of the fourth century. Churches destroyed, scripture burned, Christians were jailed, tortured, and killed. Public worship banned across the Roman Empire. Yet the Christian faith not only survived, but it flourished. It grew within a generation. Constantine, the emperor of the Roman Empire, issued edicts of toleration. By the mid-4th century, Christianity had moved from hunted to favored faith, the favored faith of the empire. The empire that had tried to stamp it out under Diocletian was gone. The Christian message was now being carried out and throughout the Roman Empire. The persecution of the faithful, the persecution of the church, carried through to the 20th century. Under totalitarian atheism, the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. After 1917, Soviet authorities closed churches, executed imprisoned clergy, confiscated church property, promoted aggressive state atheism. This was one of the most systemic anti-Christian campaigns in history. The Bolshevik Revolution of the 20th century in Soviet Russia. Seminaries were shut. Religious education was banned. Believers paid heavy social and professional costs for open faith. Yet underground communities, house churches, and quiet forms of worship persisted throughout the Soviet Empire. By the late 20th century, despite decades of propaganda and persecution, surveys showed substantial Christian belief remaining in Soviet Russia. After the fall of the Soviet regime, public Christian life rapidly revived itself throughout the former Soviet Union. Against a state that explicitly settled to eradicate religion and Christianity, the Christian church in Eastern Europe meant fractured, did not disappear, remained firm behind the scenes, underground. We saw this also in China. Growth under pressure. Communist rule in China imposed strict controls on all religions, closing churches during the Cultural Revolution from 1966 to 76, jailing leaders, forcing worship underground. Missionaries feared the young Christian Chinese church would be crushed. Yet, against all odds, historians now record a, quote, beyond survival story. House church networks quietly multiplied under pressure, with many believers meeting secretly at great personal risk. Research on religion in China under communism has found that despite ideological campaigns, Christianity survived and even flourished and significantly expanded through unofficial underground churches. One metaphor likened it to bamboo. Yes, bamboo. Cut it down, even repeatedly, it keeps sending up new shoots from hidden roots. Christian history is clear that even under intense pressure, from the Roman arenas to Soviet prisons, believers responded with nonviolent endurance and perseverance of the saints. Historically, Christianity has survived attempts at eradication, whether in the Roman Empire, in the Soviet Union, or Communist China. Believers interpret this long pattern of perseverance and resilience as a sign that the faith is sustained by our Heavenly Father, by more than human power. Even skeptics struggle to explain the survival of Christianity in purely sociological terms, often concluding that, judged by ordinary probabilities, Christianity's endurance and global spread make it one of history's most remarkable anomalies. A remarkable anomaly. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this third week of February 2026, reporting on anomalous phenomena. Turning to page 2 of the report. Conservative Christian groups have often grappled with whether religious freedom includes other religions. Some Christian groups dedicated to defending religious freedom argue equal treatment for all faiths, out of the principle that discriminating against one religion could threaten them all. I seem to be in that camp. It's a double-edged sword, said Matt Staver, founder, chairman of Liberty Council, focusing on religious freedom litigation on behalf of Christians. He says, quote, religious freedom is for all of us, or it's for none of us. And that brings me to this. Mandami, mayor of New York City, ushers in a new tradition, Ramadan in City Hall. The mayor, New York City's first Muslim mayor, will observe Ramadan as he runs the nation's largest city, blending his faith into his public life. Ramadan began this past Tuesday evening when the crescent moon was first sighted over the western horizon. More than 500,000 observant Muslims in New York City will mark the beginning of Ramadan, considered the holiest month in Islam. And joining them will be the city's first Muslim mayor, Zohran Mamdani. Every year, the world's nearly 2 billion Muslims celebrate Ramadan through fasting, prayer, reflection, and service. Fasting in Ramadan during the month of Ramadan is one of the five pillars of the Islamic faith. Turning the page on the report, the White House announcing a day of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. On May 17, 2026, a special event on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., every American invited. The date of this event has roots in history. In 1776, the American colonies, facing the likelihood of a war with the British Empire, were facing more armed conflict that had already erupted a year earlier in 1775 with the battles of Lexington, Concord, and Bunker Hill. But more British troops were headed across the Atlantic. In January 1776, a firebrand patriot named Thomas Paine published a pamphlet called Common Sense. In it, he called for complete independence from England. A few weeks later, on March 16, 1776, the Continental Congress declared a national day of fasting, a national day of prayer, to take place on May 17th, across all of the 13 colonies. Reading that proclamation today, 250 years later, one can clearly see that these were men and women of faith who knew all was lost without God's hand of protection. The words they wrote are as powerful today as they were 250 years ago. The Congress called for May 17th to be, quote, a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may, with united hearts, confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance an amendment of life, appease his righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain his pardon and forgiveness, humbly imploring his assistance to frustrate the cruel purposes of our unnatural enemies. The Continental Congress on May 17, 1776. Declaring a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. These Christian patriots, with deep knowledge of Scripture, believed that war was acceptable, morally acceptable, to defeat a tyranny, concluding the proclamation by asking God Himself to bless all his people in these colonies. Clearly, the founders of this great nation were people who loved this new country that was just waiting to be born, but more than that, they loved it. They loved their faith in Christ. It's absolutely clear from any objective point of view that the role of the Christian faith in the creation of our great country is indisputable. Irrespective of the establishment and the red establishment, thank you. other American patriots who helped light the torch of liberty in 1776. Let us ask our Creator to bless America, free our nation and our people from all threats to our safety and happiness, and guide our actions for the security and common good of all Americans. The president added that the Bible teaches in all circumstances give thanks. As such, it is fitting that we mark this special year as a unique occasion to celebrate our proud history. One nation, under God. Turning the page on the report, U.S. military prepared to strike Iran. U.S. military moving into place for possible strikes in Iran. President Trump not indicating that he has made a decision about how to proceed as diplomatic talks continue. President Donald Trump saying this past Friday that he is considering limited military strikes to pressure Iran over its nuclear program. Oil prices stable on Friday after rallying more than 5% this week as traders price in the risk of imminent U.S. military action. A massive U.S. military buildup underway in the Middle East. Iran partially closing the Strait of Hormuz, a vital oil choke point. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei saying last week that they should know that if they start a war this time, it will be a regional war. One military analyst says that Russian and Chinese leaders tolerated the toppling of Venezuela's strongman, Nicolas Maduro, in the first days of the year. But in contrast, Russia and China simply will not tolerate. For them, Iran possesses inherent geostrategic importance, as well as strategic importance to the emergence of a multipolar world where Russia and China balance U.S. power in the Middle East. It's also being reported that Iran is planning strikes against Israel. Iran retaliating against Israel. Iran has responded by saying that it will retaliate like never before, knowing that the regime, the lifeblood of the regime, is at stake. Israel, however, is also vulnerable to ballistic missile strikes. Like other Middle Eastern nations, Israel doesn't have enough flowing water for household use and to sustain its industries, so it has built 5 major desalination plants on the Mediterranean coast to make seawater usable for its population. At least 65% of Israel's water comes from these desalination plants, and they are now a likely target of Iranian strikes. Iran wanting to use water as a weapon. Iran knows that it can't sustain a long war, so naturally, it will try to hit its enemies where it hurts most. Iran has declared that it will attack Israel if the United States attacks Iran. Even if Israel doesn't play any role in the war. Water wars are very real. There are recent examples in the international community. South Asia, terrorist attacks in India. India blaming Pakistan. Pakistan suspending the Indus Water Treaty that guaranteed that Pakistan would keep receiving water from the rivers that flow from India. Pakistan's entire economy depends on this water. Without this treaty, India could stop the water, eventually creating a desert in Pakistan without firing a single shot. Iran may be looking at this playbook to justify an attack on Israel's water plants. Experts are saying that just as Iran will try to escalate the war, Israel also would seek to escalate dramatically if the collapse of the Iranian regime seems imminent. It's been referred to as the Samson option, a reference to the biblical Israelite judge Samson, who pushed the pillars of the Philistine temple, bringing down the roof, killing himself and thousands of Philistines who had captured him. The Samson option. If Israel employs the Samson option, we're not certain what will happen next. We're in prayer that the situation de-escalates, but mostly that God's will be done. If the U.S. really wants to attack Iran, any action would need to be super calculated. The Middle East is on a razor's edge. Turning the page on the report, our last page in this third week of February 2026. President Trump last night, as I'm recording this, directed U.S. government to prepare the release of files on aliens and UFOs. Here we go again. Aliens, UFOs in the news. And this time, U.S. President Donald Trump saying that he will direct U.S. agencies, including the Defense Department, to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files on aliens and extraterrestrial life. The president made his declaration in a post on Truth Social. He accused Barack Obama earlier in the day of revealing classified information when former President Obama said, quote, aliens are real. On a podcast just last week, the former president, saying aliens are real. Trump responded on Air Force One, quote, he's not supposed to be doing that. He made a big mistake, referring to Obama. Asked if he thinks aliens are real, Trump answered, well, I don't know if they're real or not. But on a podcast this past weekend, former U.S. President Obama told his podcast host, Brian Tyler Cohen, that he thinks aliens are real. An interview released last Saturday. He said, quote, they're real. I haven't seen them, but they're not being kept in Area 51. There's no underground facility unless there's this enormous conspiracy. And they hid it from the President of the United States. Obama's comments made headlines. He later sought to clarify his comments on an Instagram post saying, quote, I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials have made contact with us. Really? There has been no indication as of yet that Obama relied on classified information when he gave the interview. Trump, for his part, on Thursday on Air Force One, said that while a lot of people believe in the existence of aliens, he never talks about it and, quote, doesn't have an opinion on it. We've all seen a renewed public interest in UFOs, extraterrestrial life. Some of it sparked by recent reports coming out of the Pentagon, the U.S. Navy, Congress even, U.S. House of Representatives, and a panel being put together on the topic. But ultimately concluding in a 2024 report that There was, quote, no evidence that the U.S. government had encountered alien life. But we know that evidence for UFOs is mounting. UAPs, UFOs, ETs. But some Christians are calling it demonic. How can we discern the truth? Some senior U.S. government officials aren't investigating UFOs, it is reported, because they're, quote, demonic. During the Copernican Revolution, we talked about the Galileo affair last week on the report, how the Earth is not the center of the universe, how the Earth and other planets revolve around the Sun, a paradigm-shifting event in human history. Could we be on the brink of yet another revolution? Mark Twain reportedly said that the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why you were born. So in closing, on this week's report, I want to repeat what we've said on other reports previously, that Christians should not be allergic to the UFO topic. In fact, the UFO, UAP, ET topic is a topic that's been lurking in Scripture since Genesis. There can be a theological understanding of the phenomenon, and there are Christian researchers in the field reconciling our faith with what could be a new understanding. Obviously, and always, any theology of ETs, UAPs, UFOs must be Christ-centered. And with Christ at the center, you can't go wrong. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report this third week of February 2026. And I'll remind you that in Jude, verse 3, we read, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. For the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Alexander Alfano signing off on the Religious Liberty Report. If you don't catch us on live local Christian radio, you can always catch us on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for the Religious Liberty Report. Until next time, God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.